Hi everyone, you are now listening to our podcast, For a While. We are just two Filipina 30-somethings now currently based elsewhere in the world, trying to find our way and figuring out what that means for us. Our podcast is where we take a little break to regroup, share what we've learned, and find new ways to move forward. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Andrea, and if you hear something that resonates, we'd love for you to let us know. Hey Kirsty.
Hey Andrea.
How are you?
I feel like every episode you go, how are you? And I'm like, I'm so tired.
Oh, well, I guess you have reason to since you just finished your presentation.
Oh, yeah. I think it's one of those things like after you do a presentation and I was talking for 45 minutes that afterwards you just feel a bit like you've crashed.
I hope you're okay to talk for like 2 hours more.
That's fine. Basically, on my schedule today, we talk. I've got a meeting in 2 hours as well.
Yes.
Which is a group meeting. So it's not just me talking, obviously. I think Wednesdays, which today is a Wednesday when we're recording this, but Wednesdays, I often have quite full-on meeting days. I don't know why. I think it's just, maybe it's because people like Monday, Tuesday, people are just catching up.
That makes sense.
And then people by Wednesday are like, okay, we can do this. We can meet up now. But how's it going with you? How is it over there across the world?
So I've been biking more often.
I've seen your photos. Very impressive. Considering
thank you.
It hasn't been long.
It hasn't been long. I mean, I still get the occasional wipeout with really tight turns.
Like proper wipeout? Like you're on the floor?
Yes, like my bag's things falling everywhere. No injuries.
Can we get video footage of this?
No, unfortunately. Or like I bump into the railing because my cap feels like it's about to fly off and I'm holding on and then I forget how to use the brakes. So oh, no. I bump into the railings.
Yeah.
And an old guy biking, you know, looks at me with a frown.
That's really funny.
Yeah. And aside from that, like I just kicked off my cookbook club here.
I've seen that as well. And I didn't realize you're the one organizing that.
Yeah. I've always wanted to. Like ever since I found out I was moving to Singapore, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to get to do a cookbook club. So I'm happy people are game. And it's been a good excuse to reach out to friends and, you know, invite them. If they are interested, then great. If not, well, then at least I reached out, right? It's not like, you know, it's like my way of trying to be inclusive and reconnecting with people. I feel like moving places is a good opportunity to try to reconnect with people you wouldn't be doing so otherwise.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because obviously I'm in the UK at the moment, but I think a lot of us don't actively keep in touch with a lot of people we were friends with or acquaintances or, like, you know, former classmates and stuff. We follow each other on Instagram or on Facebook or on, you know, another social media platform, and you know, we like photos or we like posts, or once in a while we'll comment or react or whatever it is called on whatever platform that is. Right. But honestly, when it comes to that, I quite like that as a kind of soft touch. Hey, I see you. I like what you're posting, but kind of no commitment of having to pick up a phone and talk to the person when you may not necessarily have anything to talk about, but you're just kind of saying, hey, this looks cool. I like it. And then you do a little heart on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. I'm just wondering. It feels like for me, having moved to a new place, I feel more compelled to reach out to people. But like I said, you know, it's enough for me to have done the act of reaching out. And if they don't respond, that's fine. At least, you know, the burden of responsibility isn't on me anymore. And I don't feel like I'm the one being a snob.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, when you're like, hey, you kind of just say hi. Hey, I'm here. If you want to come along, that's fine. And then especially, I suppose, especially now, you know, even if people in quote unquote normal times would have been up for it, maybe at the moment they wouldn't be all that much, just given Corona.
Right.
But also knowing that it's nice to know you're out there if ever they wanted to speak to someone, or, you know, maybe they'll be at a coffee shop one day and be like, hey, wonder what Andrea's doing.
Well, you kind of don't have to wonder anymore because you can just stalk them on every social platform. And
it is good. It is nice. But speaking of friendships, I was going to ask a simple question, but it's kind of hard to just talk about friendships as one blanket thing, I feel, given that we all have different, I'm not sure what the right word is, but almost like levels or tiers or different types of friendships. But I was wondering, for you specifically at this stage in your life, how do you think your friendships have changed? Because just for a background, if, you know, people are just first listening to this episode, Andrea and I actually, we've known each other since how long, Anne?
More than 20 years.
Oh, for sure.
Almost 25 years.
Longer, I think. It was since we were for sure classmates from first grade, right? And we were seven in first grade. So that's 20. Already 25 years.
Oh, right. Right? Yeah, 25 years, exactly.
Except we also went to the same school for kindergarten because we're in the yearbook.
Yeah.
It's just my memory of kindergarten isn't that good.
We were in different sections.
I was in morning class always. Were you afternoon?
I think I regarded it more as you were in the upstairs classroom and I was in the downstairs classroom.
Oh, yeah. I remember I was in the upstairs one. I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. So Andrea and I have known each other since we were at least seven, maybe earlier, but seven for sure, because we were classmates since then. And I feel like if we're talking about our relationship first, just as a solid example, I guess, and then we can talk about other relationships, friendships, you know, that sort of relationships we've had. I feel like we weren't super close at the beginning of elementary school, but then we got really close by like fourth, fifth, sixth grade,
it's
right?
All
we got closer. Westlife. Thank you, Westlife. Long live. In high school, in the first year or two.
You moved away.
High school. But we were really close in first year, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yes.
We were carpooling and stuff, right?
Yeah. And our classrooms were just right next to each other.
Yeah. We began and ended our day together.
That's true.
And then we sort of didn't see each other all that much for years, I think. And then it was like college, maybe towards the end of college, right? Where, because you went to Manila and then we'd always see each other when we were all in Cebu. And then we've gotten closer and closer ever since. Would you say that was accurate?
Yes, I'd say that's accurate. But just looking back, for me, I've been moving around a lot. Everyone has that best friend. And then an article recently came out on Medium. I'm not sure if you read it. This woman was talking about how she's closer to her best friend than to her husband.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if that works for her, good for her. But I can't also say that. So now I feel like, especially since I've been moving around a lot, I've also lost interest in some of the things that used to connect me with other people. And I would also say that, you know, being in relationships, for my first relationship, since it was long distance, it was like I was so enmeshed in that I didn't really make room for other friendships during that time. Which is sad, especially if like I move away, like, of course, friends who are left behind or friends who move away, they also make new friends and new friendships. So it's hard to, you know, I feel like I'm the drifter in terms of making and keeping connections. That's why I feel like now I guess I'm more conscious about, you know, trying to meet up with friends, especially since in Singapore, fortunately, we're more able to see each other more easily. Like, I don't think I've had a more active social life for right now. Outside of, you know, just catching up with colleagues after work, which I don't think really counts because I feel like, you know, proximity just brings you together and so you're bonded for a while. But then after that, it's kind of gone. So I would say I have a lot of friends from different parts of life, from all the jobs I've had, but I wouldn't necessarily say they are people that I actively try to keep in touch with outside of doing the rounds on social media. And I wonder if it's the same for you, since you're also the person who's gone to different grade school and high school and college, and you moved away. And yeah, what's that like for you?
First off, I feel really, really fortunate that at different stages of my life, it sounds so dramatic, but but like at the different stages of my life, I've been able to find such a good base or like foundation of friendships. I think I don't have, I think similar, kind of similar to what you were saying, like I don't have huge like barcadas or, you know what I mean? Like I don't, I'm not someone who goes to, say, a party and, like, is friends with everyone. Although I may know people and kind of, like, if you see them around, you say hi. And I'll be happy enough to speak to people. But it's just, I'm not super close with a lot of people. But, like I said, like, I've been really lucky in that, like, in elementary, up to elementary, you know, and obviously you're part of that, we've got like quite a solid friendship group. It's quite low maintenance, which I think is quite important for me, actually, because I don't think I'm a needy friend. And maybe we'll talk about this later. I've had kind of this mini friendship breakup before where a friend was a little needier and
really
was needing more stuff from me. And I kind of was like, whoa, I can't, this is too hard for me. I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to be in that kind of friendship, almost.
Do I know you well enough that I think I know who this is?
It's a university friend.
Oh, okay. Wrong person.
In the UK. We can talk about that a bit later. But yeah, so I've been really fortunate in that. And then our class, our batch, right, from elementary, we're like, when we see each other, it's like nothing has changed. We just laugh and laugh and laugh. And obviously we have that those shared experiences and all those memories, so we can all bond over that. And then when I went to high school as well, I was so fortunate that the group of people I became classmates with are really nice people. Like, they're really good people. They're all really nice and good friends. And obviously there's some people in that class who I'm closer with than others. But it's like, we still have Christmas dinner every year, Christmas lunch or whatever. We see each other every Christmas to at least have a Christmas dinner, which obviously won't be happening this year. We're all still friends. It's a bit different when it comes to university, because I guess the classes are bigger because you're in a, you know, this one whole year group batch. But because I moved away for university, I moved to the UK to study here. It's almost like you become friends with, well, I became friends with a much smaller group of people very fast, and like a much more deeper friendship almost in a very short amount of time. And I think that's because, you know, I lived in student halls, and then after the first year where I lived in like dorms, I then moved into a shared house with four other girls or five other girls. You get close to people really fast when you're living with them. And all of us obviously are away from our families, so your friends become like your surrogate family for that time. You share stuff and you talk about stuff and you kind of support each other through stuff that you wouldn't have to if, say, I was living in Cebu. Like, there was this one time where my like monthly allowance that my mother would send me was delayed because it didn't come through quickly. And I'm like, I have to go to my friend and be like, hey, do you mind if I borrow money for like a week? It'll be here next, you know, in a few days. Is that fine? And they're like, yeah, cool. And then, you know, things like that. Or, hey, I'm not feeling well. Will you come to the doctor with me? Or one time, one of my, I'd say she was my best friend from university. She's not feeling well. And, you know, it's 8 PM and she sends me a message and says, I'm really not feeling well. Will you go to the supermarket and to the pharmacy and get me all these things? And you do that for each other because you like literally have no one else. So yeah, I think that's how friendships have changed. I think after university, to be perfectly honest, it's been, I found harder for me to make new friends. Because although you've got a job, you like meet people at work. I partly think it's because of the industry that I've worked in, where I'll be honest, most of my coworkers have been older, 50s, 60s, predominantly men. Men with families, right? We're not all like 20 somethings hanging out. It's really not. Like in the team I was working in, there's 50 of us. I'm one of three females.
Wow.
The two other females are in their 50s. It's just a different kind of demographic. So I found it hard to make real friends. Obviously, you kind of have work friends that you just see at work. And then I've gone back to university and I'm doing a PhD at the moment. And I've made friends with people who are in my same cohort, you know, who I work with. But I think it's not, for me at least, I found that it's not the same as when I was at university or my high school friends or you guys, my elementary friends. So yeah, I don't know. Is that something that you've noticed? How different are your, like us, like your elementary friends, your high school friends, your college friends? Because you went away to Manila for college.
I would say that it's different in terms of, I feel like I have more breadth in terms of friends, but not a lot of depth. And I also think that's because I feel like I've been a bit more guarded and a bit more preoccupied with other things. I've had a lot of friendships that I've really allowed to fade away simply because we didn't share the same values anymore.
Yeah.
And I have had a lot of that. And so I'm trying to change that. I feel like maybe I just needed like a shift in perspective when you said, you know, you're really lucky with your friends. So I feel like maybe I should look again at my friendships and say, oh, I've been really lucky in this regard as well. Would you say you have friends that you can tell anything to, or you can just rant to, like at the end of the day or like anytime, call them at midnight?
Yeah, you.
Aw, thank you.
I do rant to you, right? Don't I?
Yes, you do.
I was just ranting earlier.
Oh, right. Yes.
I was ranting to you by Facebook Messenger. It's like a stream of messages ranting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do feel that way. I think that just as you were saying, that you see friendships kind of die out. And it does happen. Like, I definitely have had friendships that sort of have fizzled, but then they come back as well. Well, one, a lot of it has to do with, like, for instance, if it was elementary or high school friends, and then you went away for college or university, and then it fizzles out for a bit. Because, I mean, obviously, all of us, especially for that first few months, that first year, you're just focused on getting into the swing of things, of starting your degree and meeting new people and... It takes a lot of time. There will be relationships that kind of almost like aren't a priority in that period of time. But I think that for a lot of people, it's like a shared experience of everyone's just trying to do their own thing for a bit. And then I had a lot of friends who moved back to Cebu after graduating. And then you reconnect and then you see each other a lot more. I feel like this year, because a lot of us are at home a lot, and I know that being home isn't easy for everyone. Like, it's hard as far as livelihoods and, you know, mental health, just people not being able to do the things they normally do. But I feel like the positive, I guess, if I were to look for a positive for me, is that it's been easier to keep in touch with people because all of us have nothing else to do in our spare time. So yes, we're working and we're doing all that stuff, but then when, say, we normally would have been, I don't know, gallivanting, right? We don't have anything else to do, so we stay home, and it's been easier to like schedule people and bring people into the same place as far as talking to people. So that's kind of been a welcome side effect, which not everyone will have experienced, granted. But for me, that's been quite nice. I've reconnected with a few people, kind of light touch reconnection. Nothing that requires a lot of commitment, but it's been
nothing
nice
too intense.
Yeah, just sort of be like, hey, are you all right? You good? Let me know if you need any help. Yeah, I think people appreciate it.
I was going to ask, you mentioned that you had a friendship breakup. Was that a proper breakup or was it, or it just fizzled out naturally?
There was a non-confrontational confrontation almost. you know what? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I handled it better. Because I think I kind of was like spooked in a sense that I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, I don't know how to handle this. And was kind of like, oh, right. And then kind of just let it fizzle away. So there was no proper, we're not going to be friends anymore, ever. But it's just a situation where I think there was a misunderstanding where, okay, I'll tell the story. It was basically like, it's a university friend. There was a point where basically it was like at the end of the university year of the school year and I'd finished all my exams. And it's like kind of that period between finishing all your exams and then waiting for results, which is like a week or 2 week period of, you know, waiting around and finding out where your results are. I think it's like that period between Christmas and New Year's where you're kind of drifting, where nothing's really happening. I didn't do much. A lot of the time I stayed at home or I would see one of my best friends and we'd hang out, or a lot of the time I'd stay home and just watch TV or I'll read, all of that stuff. But I remember one time in particular where I was living with this friend and she came home and said to me, what are you doing? What are you up to? And I kind of was watching TV and all I said was, nothing. Like, just like that, because I hadn't done anything. Like, literally hadn't done anything. And I was tired. So I was kind of, you know, when you're being a bit of a sloth. But for some reason, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I said it in a way that seemed like I was mad or I was annoyed or something. Because 2 days after, I get this message, like a text, saying, oh, this is my like non-confrontational way of like asking you, what's wrong? Are you mad at me? Are you blah, 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 blah. All of these questions about me being mad, what's going on, why are you not talking to me, all of that stuff. And I kind of was like, I was so confused because to me,
she was reading too much into
it. Yeah, I think she'd read too much into my reaction or how I was behaving. Where to me, I was literally, all I was tired. Like, there was nothing on my mind about her. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was literally just me being tired and just wanting to watch TV. And I just had 8 exams, which in like a 10-day period, 8 exams in a 10-day period, and your exam content is on the entire year. Like, it's exhausting. All I did was study and I was stressed about results, but somehow there was some sort of miscommunication. And then I guess it kind of like put me off because I was like, what? Like, this is weird. And then I know that the thing that I did wrong was that I should have just had a face-to-face conversation and said, be lighthearted about it and say, what are you talking about? Like, there's nothing going on. I'm just chilling. What are you talking about? You know, don't overreact. Like, there's nothing going on. I think it pushed me away instead, because that was the first time I've ever had like a friend kind of be like that. Yeah. And I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to react. And so because I didn't know how to react, I just kind of almost shut down instead, which is my fault. So yeah, so that's a bit sad, but it is what it is, I guess. I don't know. Well, what do you think? What do you think I should have done?
Okay. Well, the first thing that came to mind is, it seems like she has an anxious attachment style. And I don't know if you've heard of the attachment theory.
I think I have, because I don't have an anxious attachment style.
Yeah. So I think you're incompatible. And while you're well-meaning to say that you wish it ended up better, I feel like even if that was resolved as gracefully as possible, it would have been highly likely that the same situation would have happened in the future, which would have been even more alienating, especially if, you know, it happens for a repeated number of times. I guess it's just a case of you, at the end of the day, you just didn't vibe anymore. And I don't think you have to beat yourself up over it.
Yeah. What are the other attachment styles?
There's the avoidant attachment style, and then there's the secure attachment style. So I think you can gather from the words what they mean.
I'd imagine that I'd drift between secure and avoidant.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, not that it makes sense in that, yes, I know you to be secure / avoidant, but I guess if you think you are that way, it makes sense that, yes, you can actually teeter between two attachment styles or be a mix of both.
Yeah, I think for me, that would, like you say, teeter between the two, depending on whether I think we have a, like, we're in a good place in our relationship or not, or in our friendship, where I think that, you know, when everything is all good, I think I'm in the secure. Honestly, like, I'm a very low maintenance friend, I think. You can tell me if that's true or not. In that, like, I don't need friends to message me all day, every day. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't need any of that. Like, if we're friends, we're friends. We're cool. Like, you can go away for 6 months and not speak to me, and then you come and speak to me and be like, it's completely fine. It's like nothing's changed. I generally don't think that if someone's not talking to me, I don't kind of think, oh, they dislike me or whatever, because I think that I'm kind of similar in that when I'm busy or I have other things going on, it's hard for me to juggle a lot of things. Like, at the moment, I have messages on Instagram and on, like, Facebook where I just haven't responded to people. I haven't even opened the messages because I'm like, I don't have the brain space at the moment. I've got presentations and meetings this week, and then I'll look at it at the weekend and I'll respond to everyone at the weekend. That's easier for me. So I think knowing that I'm like that when other people don't respond to me, I really don't take it personally. But I think that if, for instance, I don't know, like that friend that I had where we had a friendship breakup, where when I feel uncomfortable, then I think I get avoidant, where I'm not confrontational, really. So I'd rather just, like, oh, let's just forget about it and let's just drift apart. That's easier for everyone.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think you're being avoidant in the term where, you know, it's, well, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, so okay. It's just a guess.
But yeah. I've just Googled avoidant. So it says here, avoidant is people with an avoidant attachment style completely avoid relationships altogether or keep anyone new they meet at a distance, which I don't think is me because I obviously don't avoid relationships or friendships altogether. But I think that even friendships, like, I think that making new friends, I find it a little challenging to
exhausting.
Just, yeah. It's so tiring because I feel really like, I don't know, and then maybe I do tend towards being more shy or more introverted around new people. But, like, if we're friends, once we're friends, I'm noisy and extroverted and around my family and stuff, but around new people, and that includes, you know, meeting new friends and stuff. It's, I don't know, I just feel really awkward and I don't feel entirely comfortable, and I personally don't feel like I can completely be myself. Yeah, so I think it's not so much avoidant, I think, as cautious, almost.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I don't think you're avoidant in that that's actually your attachment style, but yeah, more cautious, I think, is the word. I feel like I'm the opposite. I'm happy to just let other people talk and I just listen and absorb what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
So I'm actually glad to have friends who are the talkative kind and they can carry the conversation while I just do something else and pretend to be busy. Like, oh, I have to wash the dishes.
But you have so many insights and so much to say.
I don't know about that. Or if I have insights, I feel like I'm going to keep quiet because I don't feel comfortable giving unsolicited advice. Yeah, and I guess that's my thing as well, where maybe I also haven't allowed relationships to blossom as much because I'm completely respectful of people's boundaries to the point where I don't reach out. Or if I feel like somebody's distressed, I kind of like, oh, maybe they need some time alone instead of me saying, what's wrong? I'm not that kind of person. And I've learned that, you know, it's only recently that I've learned how to be a better friend where, oh, I actually have to keep the conversation going instead of just the two of us being quiet while we're on the way to somewhere or something like that. I've had to learn how to be more sociable even in the context of friendships.
I was going to say, I don't know if I would ever say that I thought you were the quiet one in a friendship, but maybe I'm just thinking that. Maybe I'm the talkative one and I just think that you're talking back to me and you're not.
You know, that might actually be right. I'm happy to let you talk in, especially in a group of larger, in a group of more people. I'm like, I'm just happy to be there and absorb.
I think I'm similar in that way where the larger the group, the quieter I become.
Really?
Yeah. Whereas there are people who the larger the group, they also get like louder and louder. But I think I get quieter and I'm loudest when we're one-on-one.
I think I'm the same.
Do you know, I don't know if you're the same with me, Anne, but I feel, for instance, if we're in a large group of, let's say, there's 20 people, like at a party or something, or a dinner or whatever, and I'm talking with like one or two other people who are close friends. Let's say the two people I'm closest with in that entire group, and we're having a conversation, I don't feel fully comfortable having almost a one-on-one conversation in a group, because in the back of my mind I'm always thinking other people can hear us, and I don't feel comfortable. I don't know, like I feel slightly paranoid about people hearing conversations that are between like me and someone I'm close with, where they don't know, like, say, context, or they don't know background or why I'm saying it, and like it just makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Which is why I think I get quieter.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. But at the same time, if you do that, it makes you look more aloof. And for me, the way I do it is like if somebody talks to me and then there's somebody else in the group, you know, listening, like I try to include them where I say, oh, you know, we have this thing. So I provide context to this thing just so they don't feel excluded. So I try to be conscious of that because
to make people feel included.
Yeah, to make people feel included, basically. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like one of the things that worries me about that is if, say, for instance, it's me and you. You and I were having a conversation and then there's a group around. I get worried about how much other people are okay to know. If, for example, we're talking about something that, let's say we're talking about your relationship with a man. You know what I mean? And I kind of, I'm like, oh, it's okay. We'll talk about it later. Like it's, you know, I think I act like that because for me, I'm like borderline secretive, I think, about stuff. Like I'm private about a lot of things. I don't share it with a lot of people. A lot of things, I think. So I think I assume that other people are the same way, and they're not. I know that they're not. But I think my default is to assume that they are. And I just wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever had any friendship breakups?
Kind of.
Ooh, is it something that you're okay to share?
I feel like I've done scorched earth.
What's that?
Scorched earth, you know, like nothing can grow there anymore.
Oh, right. Okay, okay. I thought this was like code for something.
No. I mean, I feel like it sounds a lot worse than it actually is, but I feel like just have to move on and accept. And I feel like there are a lot of friendships as well where I'm at fizzle out stage, but ready to reconnect if there's an opportunity. But also I've done my part. I'm not going to throw myself at a person who has time for that. The thing I mentioned, like in college, right, I was really active with Bible study. I outgrew that. I was really active in participating in a church, but I outgrew that as well. And, you know, there were some things that I didn't agree with regard to that organization because it felt a little bit cult-like and it felt like they were taking over your whole life. And those were my friends for my entire college life. I was so active and I would go home late because, yeah, church was my whole life at that time. At some point, I don't know what happened. Like, I just didn't agree with how they do take over your whole life. And I think I vocalized that to a friend privately. But it turns out the friend was like a double agent and was reporting things to the pastor. And then the pastor texted me something like, oh, you're a messenger of Satan.
What?
Yes, the pastor actually texted me.
And said, you're the messenger of Satan?
I don't remember the exact words anymore, but they were definitely implying that I was in cahoots with Satan or something like
that. What did you do? Why did they think that this was okay to send you a message like that?
I don't know if anybody else knows that he sent me a message because I have friends who are still messaging me occasionally years after. They're like, I don't know what happened, but I hope I want to reconnect. And I'm like, nope, not while you're still in that church. I did not say anything that was disparaging to any particular person. I just feel like I didn't align anymore with the beliefs of that church. And then I guess they took it personally, and it proves that they are really borderline cultish to respond that way to me. So that's like a lot of friends that I don't keep in touch anymore with, even if they do reach out, like I won't respond. And college is supposed to be the best time of your life somehow, right? Like best memories and all of that. So I'm sad that I dedicated 4 years of my life to a belief that I've since outgrown. So that's,
but I think, kind of similarly to what you said to me about my friendship breakup, is that at least it happened while you were at university, at college. You outgrew it earlier in life rather than when you're 30 and it's like, oh, it's been 10 years.
Yeah. I'm glad I had that crisis of faith back then and not now, because that would be rough. I tried to get involved in church again after, when I went back to Manila for a while, but then I felt burnt out. I feel like when I commit to something, I give like 101% or 110% until it's no longer sustainable for me, and I would get frustrated and resentful. So I decided to just stop and not be so gung-ho about whatever I was into at that time. And now I can't commit to anything, which is hard, but I guess I've accepted that part of myself. I mean, I'm not going to force anything. I feel like I'm too old for that. I don't have the energy to do that, to sustain that kind of commitment to anything anymore.
You're committing to this.
That's true. I feel like I'm committed because you're committed. And I don't want to let you down.
I don't want to let you down.
That's us keeping the thing alive.
Yeah, I know. We're just our mutual kind of...
our mutual bond.
Yeah, of kind of being like, you're still into this, right? You're into this, yeah. I am still really into it. I think the nice thing about this project is, although obviously we're doing it as a podcast, which we share with other people, but it also gives us like the chance to catch up as well.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
That's true. Can I just say, it's nice that you say you don't take things personally if you don't, you know, if you don't hang out for a while, or if you don't keep in touch for a while. Because how about when you see friends that are hanging out in the same group that are hanging out with each other without you? Like, you don't take that personally?
Maybe I would if, maybe it's a bit different because I'm not in Cebu. And I think a lot of my closest friends are my longest friends. You guys who are, you know, elementary friends, and then some high school friends. And those are like my longest friends, you know. I've got friends from university who I am still close with. But I think at this moment in our lives, we're not as close as we were, because I'm busy with work, they're busy with work, and we're across the country from each other. We're like in four different places in the country. It's hard to catch up in the same place, but we keep in touch via messaging. So over here, my friends, they don't see each other as well, and I don't see them. We're just messaging each other. So I wouldn't run into a situation like that here. The place that I would run into a situation like that, I guess, would be back in Cebu, where, you know, I've got high school friends and elementary friends. And I think that if I were in Cebu right now and I saw some friends hang out without me, maybe I'd be like, hey, you didn't message me. Like, what's going on? Yeah, maybe I would be a bit like, why wasn't I included? We're a group. You know, I think the bigger your group, like if you were a group of friend of 10 or something, I think it's natural that there'll be like two people in the group who are like super close friends, or three people who are like a trio within the group of 10, things like that. So yeah, maybe I would be a bit upset if I wasn't included, if I didn't see a reason for me not to be included. Like, I'm free, why wasn't I contacted? But actually, I don't know if you've seen this meme from like a 2020 meme. I first saw this like a few months ago, several months ago now, actually, two or three months into lockdown, where I saw an English version and like a Bisaya version of it, which was, you know, in Bisaya, it said like, guys, inikuman sa lockdown, pangimbitan niya muha, promise, mutunga na dugo. Which in English is like, after lockdown, invite me to everything, I promise. I'm going to show up this time, which I could relate to because I think I'm someone who's kind of like, oh, I don't feel like it. I kind of just want to stay home.
That hasn't happened.
I don't know. I'm a homebody. I like to stay home.
You have such a nice home.
Oh, thanks.
Of course you would want to stay in Cebu. Home.
I don't know. I think it's just kind of, I think that's definitely like my introvert side where mm-hmm. if we're going anywhere, I have a bunch of questions before I agree to go anywhere. I'm like, where are we going? What time do we finish? What time do we start? Who's going to be there? Who's, you know what I mean?
What? I don't get that from you.
Well, that's because I know when we hang out with a particular group of friends. Yeah, but we're like, I know who's going to be there. Like, there's not even a question anymore because we're the same group of people. And yeah. I know what it involves because we've been hanging out since we were 7. So that's fine. I think, you know what I mean? Like other groups of like maybe like friendship groups or not friendship groups necessarily, but like if you were in a larger group and you weren't unsure or often I just want to make sure I have my exit strategy. So like, do I bring a car so I can leave when I want to? Or am I getting a lift with someone else and they have to take me home? So I check with them.
Thanks what time for always driving me.
Oh, that's okay. And picking me up. It's a good excuse to go. Andrea wants to go home now. We're gonna go.
Sure. And like, oh, my mom's looking for me now. Are we too old to use that excuse?
Oh my god, I still use that excuse. Like when I want to go home and no one else is going home, I'm like, I need to go. No one will open the gate in the house. Or, which is true, actually, I always feel bad, obviously, around Christmas time when I'm back in Cebu, there's lots of stuff going on, right? There's like dinners and lunches. And obviously this year, there's none of that. Over Christmas, all of us just see our friends more. There's a lot to celebrate because it is Christmas time. There'll be several times where I'll come home late. And I always feel bad because I don't like to wake people up. So sometimes when I'm ready to go home, I'm just like, I need to go. I need, you know. Or like if it's a Saturday, because my mom, we go to church on Sundays in Cebu at 11. So if it's a Saturday night, sometimes I'll just be like, dude, I gotta go home. I've got church tomorrow. But yeah, but then obviously there's also so many times where it's just having so much fun and you don't want to go, right? And that's where sleepovers come in, I think. You can hang out all night and all day. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of For a While. Catch you in the next one. Bye.